reading from the Gospel of Luke, Book 3. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding.
We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends us snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. Then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. No gifts we have to offer for all thy love imparts, but that which thou desirest, our humble, thankful heart.
Our new sermon series for Epiphany entitled Grateful. It's based on the book by Diana Butler Bass, who is a church historian. We have copies in the narthex available for purchase. A week from Wednesday, we will begin a book study led by Jason Ballou on the first night and then shared with Reverend Denise when she returns from the Holy Land. And I hope you will get, it's an easy read, but it's one that I think will help us as a community of faith change in this new year by living lives of gratitude. And over the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at several aspects of gratitude that we may not have considered before. How there many times is a gap between our desire to be grateful and actually living that life of gratitude. How gratitude is not just a personal endeavor, but rather it's a collective one as well. And then how living a life of gratitude can, in fact, change us. In fact, the subtitle of the book is The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. The word gratitude and grace come from the same root. gratia in Latin, and charis in Greek. Grace, which is our focus for today, is a theological term meaning unmerited favor. Diana writes that when I think of grace, I particularly like the image of God tossing gifts around, a sort of indiscriminate giver of sustenance, joy, love, and pleasure. Grace is gifts given without being earned and with no expectation of return. That kind of grace is quite simply amazing. Because you can neither earn nor give back the gift, your heart fills with gratitude, and the power of that emotion transforms the way you see the world and the way you experience life. Grace begets gratitude, which in turn widens our hearts toward greater goodness and love. To put it another way, in the words of the great 20th century theologian Karl Barth, grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth. Grace evokes gratitude like a voice evokes an echo. Gratitude follows grace like thunder lightning. Well, our gospel lesson for this morning evokes all of those things: gratitude, grace overflowing, a transformed life, and I imagine thunder lightning would be a good descriptor of God's voice breaking through the heavens after Jesus was baptized. When John the Baptist called folks to the River Jordan, he was offering them God's grace through repentance. John believed that God's grace, found only in baptism, was God's initiative and God's own doing, something that we just couldn't do for ourselves. He knew, John did, that the people were hungry and thirsty for God, and they were eager to experience a new day that had long been promised to Israel, a day that their grandmothers had prepared them for their entire lives. And then here was this powerful preacher telling them to get ready for it at last. So they went out to the river, closer to the wilderness than to the nice, clean temple that they were accustomed to. And it was there in the wilderness and at the river that they sought forgiveness for their sins. Now, just this alone was a radical act, because this fringe prophet who, yes, wore hirsutes and ate locusts and wild honey, he had no standing with the temple authorities. He had no business getting into the forgiveness of sins. The establishment, the religious authorities, they had that covered really well. It was their work. It was their right and their responsibility. They also had the ability to impose restrictions on just who could be forgiven and who would be forgiven and at what cost. The great theologian Marcus Borg once wrote that John had no institutional standing. Indeed, he was an anti-establishment figure. And when this troublemaker, because he was a troublemaker, preached a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, it was more dangerous than it sounds. Borg says that such a message countered the temple's claim to be the sole mediator of forgiveness. John was an anti-temple prophet, and as we shall see, Jesus followed him in this. Well, when Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized by John, John didn't want to baptize him because he knew that Jesus did not need to be baptized. But Jesus chose to be baptized. He chose anyway because he wanted to begin his public ministry by identifying with the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem. He allied himself with the faults and the failures, the pains and the problems of all of the broken people who had flocked to the Jordan River. They knew what we know today, that in baptism a new day had come in their lives. It was the dawning of what John Wesley would later name as prevenient grace, the grace that comes to us before we ask for it, that reaches out and grabs hold of us and says, "Here I am. You are my beloved one. I am well pleased with you." And in our baptism, that's exactly what God is saying to each of us. You are my beloved one. Not because you've done anything to earn it or because you deserve it, not because of your social status or gender or income or any other metric we could name. You are God's beloved child because God's very nature, God's very inclination and desire is pure love. Sometime back, our former lay leader, Jay Sal, posted this cartoon on Facebook. It's a talking to a genie. A man says, I wish I was worthy of love. And the genie says, it's done. Poof. And the man says, but nothing's changed. And the genie says, that's correct. You see, God loves us just as we are, plain and simple, and there is not a thing we can do about it. Amen? And in our baptism, God says to us, you are my beloved child no matter what, without exception, without condition, just as you are. That is the definition of grace overflowing. And by wading into the River Jordan, Jesus took his place beside us and among us just to show us how much God loves us. And here's what that means. First, in his own baptism, Jesus tells us, my grace is yours. You are forgiven. Let go of the past. Begin life anew this day. Live like the person whom God created you to be. So let me ask you, in this new year, which is only 13 days long, are you clinging to a memory of a mistake you made? Do you keep reliving it over and over and over, living in the regret of the past and wondering if you deserve to forgive yourself instead of living into the promise of the future, a future in which God's mercy is assured in our baptism? In the words of Paul Tillich, salvation is simply accepting the fact that God has already accepted us. Whatever it is that you're carrying with you this day that might be weighing you down, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to lay it down at the metaphorical river that we are gathering at this morning. Receive a brand new start today. Lay down whatever is burdening you and experience God's grace anew so that you can continue to be that person God calls you to be, the person to whom God says, you are my beloved. It is in you that I am well pleased. Second, remember and claim who you are, a beloved child of God. Martin Luther said we should remember our baptism every morning when we wash our faces. Luther also wrote that a truly Christian life is nothing less than a daily baptism once begun and ever to be continued. Well, too many of us don't do that. We don't think of our baptism and what God continues to say to us through it. Instead, we think that God is really pleased with other people, but not with us, not for any number of reasons, we can feel that we aren't worthy. Now there's a great illustration in the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, that I wanna invite you to go home and rent that movie and look at it, so I don't have to tell you the story now. But essentially, Tula, the bride, does not think that she's worthy and that her fiance will not go through all of the steps that is required to marry her. And at one point, she just says, I'm not worth it. And her brother says, oh yes, you are. And that's exactly what God says to us. Not only on the day we're baptized, but every day that we remember our baptism, God looks at us and says, you are so worth it. I love you, because we are all worth it to God. Amen? Finally, as loved and children of God, and forgiven children, recipients of grace overflowing, we are called to live together in a new way, a way of love and light and forgiveness, a way of justice and peace, a way in which we intentionally remember our baptism daily, a way of gratitude for grace overflowing and for life itself that we call the beloved community or the kingdom of God on earth. You see, Jesus goes into these baptismal waters with us to enable us to live in that new way. So as grace overflows in our lives, brothers and sisters, I invite us to be grateful and live so that we might give to others hope in this broken and hurting world. It is up to us to give hope to our teachers who will be on the picket lines tomorrow in the rain. It is up to us to give hope to the hundreds of thousands of federal workers and contractors and their families affected by the government shutdown, and those small businesses that are also affected in so many parts of our country. It is up to us to give hope to the families who continue to flee violence and to seek asylum even as they face detention along the border. It is up to us to give hope to the people who call the streets their home, especially as there's not enough shelter beds in the coming days of rain. This is how we manifest grace overflowing in our lives, by living with gratitude as a community together. In just a moment, you'll be invited to come forward and claim that grace that God offers to us. The ability to lay down our worries and our regrets, our grievances at the river, and remember our baptism, and accept the call of God on our lives. And as you come forward to either Reverend Denise or me, I want you to come up and put your hands out and say, I am your name. I am Kathy. I am God's beloved child. We'll then take a shell from the baptismal font and place it in your hand and invite you this day to remember your baptism and be thankful. If you are an adult or if you have a child that have never been baptized and would like to be baptized in the future, please see Donna at the welcome desk or talk to Denise or myself, and we will arrange for you to receive the sacrament very soon. Let us join today with all those who gathered there on the banks of the River Jordan with John the Baptist and Jesus, all the saints who have gone before us and those who will come after us as the beloved community, receiving grace overflowing with gratitude. Amen.